A happy Sabbath and welcome, dear ones, to our main church service on this 10th day of January 2026. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone, those that are here in the room, and those that are listening to the recording. I'm glad to be in fellowship with you. Now, one announcement before we get into our service, and that announcement is we had two wonderful presentations for our Friday evening meeting and our Sabbath Youth and Adult Sabbath School. And coming in the second Friday and Sabbath of February, we have two available openings for individuals to volunteer. So that's several weeks away from now, so there's plenty of time for you to go to the Lord and see if he is impressing you to be one of those volunteers. And you kind of see the format, right? but I'll be more than happy to help you get prepared and to be able to keep the presentation flowing forward. And again, we've had two wonderful meetings, and praise God that we have two other individuals that are able to lead out in our meetings in case there is a problem with any of the other leaders being available. So there's a lot other unused talented individuals in our family, and would like you to go to the Lord and see if he is leading you to be one of those volunteers. So that's the one announcement that I had. And our opening song for today's service is Jesus is all the world to me. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend.
Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trial sore. I go to him for blessings, and he gives them o'er and o'er. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain, he's my friend.
Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could this friend deny when he's so true to me? Following him, I know my right. He watches o'er me day and night. Following him, by day and night, he He's my friend.
Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I'll trust him when life's fleeting day shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend. And thank you, Savior. You know, it's one thing to view Christ as your Savior and Redeemer and High Priest and Sanctifier and Substitute. It's another thing to view Him as your friend and Elder Brother. That's what He's asking for. That's why He's willing to walk personally with each one of us along the banks of the River of Life, because He's our friend, wants to spend time with us. And we should also want to spend time with Him. Dear ones, please join with me for opening prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank You so very much for bringing us safely through another week to another time where we can gather together and leave our cares and perplexities of the past week behind, and to rest in Thy love and to focus our attention on things above, upon our friend, upon our Father, upon our Comforter. And thank You for making all of this possible. Thank You for the great blessing of knowing that we have other brothers and sisters of the same faith all around the world, that we can come together in a live church meeting at the same time and be able to talk live and to see each other live if we share our video. It makes such a difference than to be all alone in our community or in our neighborhood or perhaps in our state or country. Thank You for this great privilege to gather together and to worship Thee and to praise Thee and to seek an audience with Thee. And dear Savior, thank You for making this audience possible, because You're the connecting link. And thank You, dear Spirit, for putting the principles of heaven into our heart to counteract the desires of the flesh. We pray that You will continue to convict each one of us of our sins and of righteousness and judgment. Continue to reprove and correct us, and to point our feet upward on that straight, narrow path where Christ leads the way to eternal life. Increase our understanding. Let us be able to grow in knowledge more today than in the past. We want to learn. We want to know the truth, and help us to love it more and to seek for it more, because the truth is our Savior Jesus. And thank you, dear Spirit, for giving us divine wisdom and anointing our eyes with the balm of Gilead that brings healing to our soul and life to our hearts. Dear Father, we pray for those that are hurting, that are sorrowful, that are grieving, that are afflicted, whether emotional, physical, or spiritual afflictions. And thank you, dear Savior, for being the great physician, the great healer, the great deliverer. And thank you for providing it for each individual according to thy perfect will and timing. If we have you, we have life. Thank you for setting us free. So thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for continuing to be in our midst. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So last Sabbath, there was a request for knowing more of the signs of the times. Very appropriate request. And part of our homework this past week was to see if we could spot or see any of the signs of the times that show our Lord's return to be soon, to be near, are occurring. So any that have found some of the signs of the times, please go right ahead and share your findings.
Well, I had a few, but I'm going to just start with one that actually is kind of double. And it has to do with the dragon already roaring more now. And on a few different fronts that actually show that the time is very close at hand. Religious liberty is being restricted because there is a greater, more open push for the destruction of the Constitution and also the pushing forward of the Sunday law. I believe that some of you or most of you already know a little bit about the agenda of Project 2025, which has some very clear, well-drawn-out maps of what they want the government to be and what they want religion to be in this nation. So that right there also is a very poignant part. The roaring part comes also with the military flexing that's been going on lately, demanding the isolation and the persecution. I see the persecution that's taking place on immigrants that are here and even citizens that are here and even as far as veterans even that are here being scooped up and treated poorly as just a taste of what's to come. This is just like COVID. It was a test to see how much they could get away with during such an emergency. Then we have the removal of this nation from being involved in the other nation's affairs that would help humanitarily other people. So that also I find as that's more of the roaring That's more of the standing stronger and giving voice to what this country is destined to become. It doesn't look like at this time, from what I'm seeing and what I've tried by God's grace to be prayerful about, I have to actually remove myself from some of the information because it can tend to just set me off a bit. So I take breaks because I'd rather take those breaks and be with the Lord than not take those breaks and I'm just overwhelmed with all of that junk. We know by God's grace that these things are going to happen. We know by God's grace that prophecy is being fulfilled. These are the things that this particular area I was bringing up because it is increasing. Even as the Lord has said, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Okay, that has a lot to say with what is even going on now. With the threat of invasions on multiple countries right now by this country. So those things and the shifting of the different powers shows me, based on experience I've had in the military, it shows me that the restructuring is unlike anything I've ever seen before. And I believe we know that the adversary is going to be allowed to get some restructuring done in order for him to have his so-called last hurrah. And it's unfolding from what I can see. And we're not very welcome. Here, though, is a little light, I find, a silver lining in the clouds, so to speak. Is because even though tragic events have happened here and there, I have also discovered that there are more people that the Lord is stirring up to really get into not just his word, but into his law. And I find that there are more people that are questioning more about which day is the Sabbath of the Lord. And that is causing a lot of false preachers, they have to be called that because that's what they really are, to be on the defensive. I don't see that as a bad thing. I see that, personally, this is me, as a good thing because it's making people read. It's making people think and pray and ask God, what am I supposed to do? It hasn't blossomed the way I personally would like to see it explode into a fire everywhere. It hasn't done that yet, but the Lord says it's going to. So I have to trust his word that it's going to, because this gospel must be preached unto all the world. Then shall the end come. So I look at it like that also. And I mentioned those two things, and I'm going to leave it right there for what it is that I could see with all these various and increases, even the destabilization of Europe, the destabilization of the different countries there. Also, another thing that was mentioned in Spirit of Prophecy is the increase of the actions of unions on the economies around the world. And it is happening at a faster rate than before and with more force. From what I had recently seen just about a week and a half ago, though I followed it for a couple of weeks, is in Ireland and in the UK, the farmers there are basically being taxed out of their land. And that has caused them to rise up by the thousands, and they've actually blocked roads with hundreds and hundreds of tractors and taken what measures they need to with manure and things like that into the capitals of their countries to let the leaders there know that this is not going to happen. So how that's going to affect other things? Everything has a domino effect. When you push one way and something else pushes it, it has an effect and it's going to have a global effect. I see this, I know I'm rambling, forgive me. I see this also, though, as an opportunity for God's people when these things start to diminish, meaning crops and things like that, it's going to cause health issues to increase. Well, then God's people need to be able to be ready to know how to address those health issues, those needs, with the Word of God also, as it was in the past with the sanitariums, though they may not have the ability or the freedom to establish them, it doesn't mean that it cannot be done mobily, or cannot be done from a home, it cannot be done traveling-wise to help people live better and know Jesus at the same time. So these are the things I see as signs to me opening up all over at a very fast rate, which the Lord has already stated it's going to happen rapidly. Things are going to happen rapidly. So it's important to be ready for that. And what we study today, I find in my own heart and my walk, it just compounds and impresses that more so of the need to be close to the Lord, to know how to love one another as He loves us, so that we can love our neighbors as He loves them. It just rolls into one as all these signs are unfolding from what I see. And that's just a couple, and I'm going to be quiet. Thank you.
Thank you, dear brother. Sister Victoria, go ahead.
I'm noticing homosexuality just getting worse, but really quickly. They've just gotten so bold to start hitting on people who are not going that way. So that's another sign that I'm seeing.
Amen. Amen. There was a comment in the room here. It says, the increase in frequency and intensity of weather events like storms, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, droughts, and rising temperatures are signs of the times. And also earthquakes and volcanoes becoming more active and causing further disasters every year. People are noticing and claim it is due to climate change, but the climate is changing because it was foretold in the Bible to happen near the close of this world's history. Amen. Any other findings, dear ones, or comments you'd like to make?
Okay. I guess it's my turn again. I want to let my sister say something because this is important. This is a part I was going to bring up. Go ahead, Sister Yi. Yes, you're right. Yeah, yes, they did. They did bring out, that was something I was going to mention, is the digital ID, which it's understood by us at least, and those that study the Word of God prayerfully, that is not the mark of the beast. It is a control portion that is going to be used to help implement the buying and selling here and there. Yes, and yes, it did roll out in the UK with great opposition, as a matter of fact, and they're still having problems. And yet now, whatever I have discovered in my time by God's grace on the face of this earth, that whatever happens in the UK begins to happen here not too long after. Well, they already started that with the real ID thing. That is just a precursor to the digital ID, which will have everything that they believe is necessary about you on one particular card, including your bank and everything like that. And that will be how we will all be functioning if we, by God's grace, are breathing at that time. We're going to function like that with that ID. The UK is not the only one. There are other European nations that are very strongly considering it. The UK did have the strongest situation in which it is mandatory for even working to have a government digital ID in order to even be employed. So you cannot really be employed there. You cannot shop in any stores there. You cannot apply for a job without showing that you have one. So there was a great ruckus, to say the least, by the people. However, it didn't really go far, as it has now been going far with the farmers, because they are turning things upside down. The question was asked in the room, where did I get information concerning the Irish farmers and things like that. I don't personally watch a lot of mainstream news, because I don't trust it. It's not really very truthful. So I will look at a variety of independent news sources that can be corroborated in various sources instead of just the main CNN, NBC, MSNBC, and all of that, which we can kind of tell is very much corporate bored. So they're going to spin whatever they want to spin. So that's where I got the information concerning the Irish farmers and the UK farmers. And really, it's a lot of the farmers that are in Europe are banding together about it. So it's out, the news is there, and it can be fine. Yeah, very true, dear brother. 85% is false information from the mainline news stories. The other thing I was going to mention, which we're aware of, I believe many of us are aware of, because it was prophesied and talked about, and even in today's study, it was spoken about, and a question was made concerning the secret chambers that people are going to be told to go to find the Lord Jesus. And the question was more like, is that like the mausoleums and cemeteries? It's really within the heart, and it's really in your secret private rooms, or as they had in the old days, covens and things like that, where you'll practice your spiritualism. But nowadays, since I was very little, and I was given a toy, they called it a toy, and a game, and that was a Ouija board. Okay, that's not nice. But when you're a child, you really don't know, you really don't care. It's fun, you do it, and it's your birthday, so they're going to give it to you if you beg enough. These are the things that are actually growing exponentially now, because now they're even using, in Japan they broke it out first, and that is the AI holograms of the deceased that speak the same way they spoke, look the same way they look, have the similar kind of mannerisms, and a person can go there and talk to them and ask them different questions and get similar answers that they possibly would have answered. It gets very emotional. They're bound to it and tied to it and believe that that is who they're talking to. So doors like that are opening everywhere. This is the greater of the spiritualism that is growing. However, I believe it's understood well enough, at least for me. I'm in this country. Okay, this is where I was born and raised. Okay, Hollywood is a big thing. All right. They put out a lot of stuff regarding that in such a realistic way nowadays, people eat it up like candy, and Satan knows it, and he uses it. So those doors just keep bursting open, and the children are the ones, unfortunately, because if they have ungodly parents, they're going to these things with them, because they can't go on their own if they're a certain age, but parents will take them with them, and now they have a guardian to be there and sit there, and as they are basically traumatized mentally and spiritually with these kinds of movies, they believe them. So it grows, and it grows into the schools. And they just had a whole thing on the whole need to actually be a research. And this is also it's part of Sign of the Times, because there was a big thing going on. Some of the parents here may know about it, and some of the youth here and others. It was a big thing about the two numbers. There were just two, 6 and 7. And the youth were running around talking about 6, 7, 6, 7. An actual detailed research was done into it with the artists that made the song, and made the song in that area using 6, 7 to sound a bit like Baby Shark. Okay, so it was geared towards children. However, the particular artist, he's a warlock. He's a sorcerer. And he worships this particular demonic deity that is associated with both of those numbers, which have a different, darker spiritual meaning. So it broke out to all the youth around the nation, and it happened to be something that even the teachers were trying to figure out what in the world is this about, until some parents actually started doing some digging and found out what the history of not just the singer's song was about, but who was he referencing. They even found interviews of him praising this deity, which he even brings in the two numbers and what they represent. So it was a deliberate attack on the children. Yes, but that's true, but that's not what it was standing for. It was standing for the two different other deities worshiped with this one. It was rather horrifying, actually, when I was watching and looking at it. I'm like, oh, my lands, dear Lord. This now is affecting all the children, and the teachers don't even know what they're really dealing with. And the students are basically saying that, oh, it just means like, you know. That's what the children were thinking. That's all it meant. But the artist knew what it meant, and use the children to help give praise to his demonic entity that he worshiped. So we see how it's spreading in all these ways too. The other portion to that, which is similar to that too now, which we have seen for decades, is the whole alien thing. Okay, well, now it's being polished. They are polishing the whole idea about alien invasions to such a degree to where so-called scientists are really big on this object that is hovering around the Earth's atmosphere, 3-1 Atlas or 3-I Atlas, something like that. And they're coming up with all kinds of, I don't know, I won't use the one word because it just doesn't sound nice. It might come across wrong, but wrong thinking, I'll say it that way, about what it's made out of, how it got there, look at the way it's behaving. 98% of the people on the planet can't see any of that, so they are taking it as fact, what these pseudoscientists are saying about it. And with Hollywood and Bollywood and all of them basically pumping out all this alien invasion stories time and time again, the indoctrination about it is just like fodder for the evil angels. They're just rolling over loving it, because it just gives them a door to come into in that way. And the divining serpent wants that to happen, because they've been pushing it for a long, long time. So now they have another way of getting it done. So those are the different things that as Christians we have to, in these end times, especially as those that keep the commandments of God, and we are really looking forward to the Lord Jesus returning, we have to be on guard not to trust our eyes at all. We have to trust the Word of God fully. And our faith needs to be fully in God's word, spirit of prophecy, be on our knees. Do not trust your eyes. Don't even want to get me started on AI. That's a different story. And I even tested a little bit of it, and a dear sister of mine, as I was sharing some things, pointed things out to me, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that's horrible. Let's back off of all of that. So, but it's getting integrated into everything. And what they're doing with the information is a bit horrifying and not just intrusive, but violating. So one piece of news that I did find, actually, and corroborated it multiple times. I'm sorry about that. I don't know who that is. Is that Gmail now is using AI to using our emails to help train their AI. Because they have a particular design with their email in which they aren't heavily regulated in what they can do with our emails, they actually have a way in which they can train certain portions of our emails that they can glean, and they help their AI to basically understand more of who we are, what we like, what we do, where we are. It's important to know that they aren't the only ones. There are other browsers that are doing that too. So we just have to understand we are under the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe that. So if we are cautious, okay, we know what to do. It's not like, I have found, it's not like those in power don't know who serves the Lord really and keep his commandments and who doesn't. So it's not like that. They already know that. We live in faith, not fear. We live in the love of Christ, not in the hate of the world. We don't follow along with that. However, the Lord did say that we should be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And I believe that has a multiple meaning to it too. So we need to be aware of what's going on around us. But I don't believe, but please help me and correct me, we're not supposed to be terrified or scared and things like that about the things that are going on that were mentioned, even by Brother Justin. The tornadoes, hurricanes, volcanoes, storms, all of these things are going to be happening. Yet in Revelation, even though those things were shown to the Apostle John, his ending was, even so, come, Lord Jesus. So even though those things are going to happen and these things are unfolding and we're going to face stricter persecution as these things really unfold, I believe as Christians, we need to be able to be aware, mindful, not just have that's them. It doesn't really faze me, because we do have a part to play, to reach others and to be alert as to know, you don't cross a busy highway blindfolded and think that nobody's going to hit me. They'll see me. No, you have to make sure you cross at the right spot. You look both ways. You know what the traffic situation is. You understand if it's snowy, it's slippery or whatever. We as Christians, I believe, have to also be mindful of that. And the Lord Jesus was getting, telling his disciples too also, and the people, the children of the world are wiser than the children of the kingdom. And it wasn't because they were better in a way of, oh yeah, they're holier. No, but they did understand what was going on around them and how to take advantage, not in the right way, but how to take advantage of their situations to improve their conditions. Well, God's children have to also know what's going on and how to improve their conditions and share that with others. And I'll stop. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. And thank you also for what you shared. Any other comments or findings that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead. Yeah, true. Comment says more bacteria and viruses, sicknesses, and so on going on. That's true. Regarding the super flus, yeah, and then, of course, the variants from COVID-19, although it's COVID-26 now. But the variants, they just continue to multiply. There can be three or more variants of any flu virus in any given year. And each variant only carries over 3% from the parent. So you heard about the Delta variant and so on. The Delta variant was only 3% the same genetic material as the parent. So that's why when you get a variant, your body can react differently than it did to the original or to the parent, because only 3% is the same. Yeah, that's true. More volcanoes, earthquakes, and flooding. And dealing with flooding, how many are aware that back in April of last year in Spain, I believe the city was Veneta, I think it was, they got a year's worth of rain in 8 hours. A year's worth of rain in 8 hours. Of course, everything was flooding. The rivers were raging. That's amazing. I've never heard of that much rain coming in less than a day. So, I mean, they went through all the scientific reasons as to how it's possible and what happened and so on, but it's only going to get worse. And that is a sign of the time. But any other findings, dear ones, you'd like to share? Amen. Yeah, more accidents, more deaths by sea, land, and air. Amen. Amen. Atmospheric rivers are more common now. And yeah, just we're here on the West Coast. We had 3 weeks of the Pineapple Express, what we call it, the atmospheric river of just one storm after another storm after another storm. And we had 10 inches of rain in, 8 days. So that's a lot less than what Spain got. But for our area here, it was quite a bit. And praise God that the river has moved north of us now, and we got like the next 10 days without rain, which is great. So praise God that he tempers even the atmosphere. Yeah. Comment says, though my trees and flowers smiled with all the rain. Any other findings that you'd like to share, dear ones? Well, let me share some things that I was able to discover. In Matthew 24, Christ was sharing with his disciples the answer to their question. What shall be the signs showing that your return is soon? And in Matthew 24, Christ reveals several things. The spirit of prophecy adds into those things, especially dealing with floods and catastrophes. But the first thing that Christ shared was, let no one deceive you, because there will come many in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. That was the very first warning that Christ gave to his disciples and thus gave to us. So I became curious, how many individuals are actually claiming to be Christ? I know of one, which is the Maitreya, the false Christ of the New Age movement. But I started to do some research. How many Christs have there been or are currently? And in the 1800s, there were 8 individuals who claimed to be Christ. These individuals were from England, they were from America, they were from Iran, and India. 3 came from America, believe it or not. In the 1900s, there were 31 individuals who claimed to be Christ. Some of them are still alive. In the 2000s, there are 12 individuals who claim to be Christ. So there are many false Christs out there, and they are deceiving a lot of individuals. In the independent movement from the Adventist Church, some of you are aware of David Koresh. He claimed to be Christ. Others are, he was of the Davidians. Some of you are aware of the group Lord Our Righteousness here in America. Wayne Bent was one of the leaders. He claimed to be Christ. So we have Christs, false Christs, that are throughout the world, not just in America, not just in England. There's one from the Philippines, there's South Korea, North Korea, Australia, Ireland, Japan, Malaysia, Puerto Rico, Brazil. So they're all over the place. China, Ukraine. So that is definitely one of the signs of the times being fulfilled right now. And that was the very first warning that Christ gave to his followers. Any thoughts, comments, any other findings, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
Elder Rob, did anyone touch upon wars and rumors of wars?
Yeah, Brother Joel mentioned it. Do you have something to share?
No. I may have missed that little snippet. Sorry.
No problem. That was the second warning that Christ gave in Matthew 24, was wars and rumors of wars. And so I wondered how many current, not past, current wars are there going on right now? Throughout the world, there are 48 different conflicts going on.
But are there nations rising against nations yet?
Yes. So, I mean, it's not like World War I or World War II, but they fit into signs of the times. But there's 8 major wars taking place right now. There's 9 minor wars taking place right now. There's 19 conflicts taking place right now. There's 12 skirmishes or clashes taking place right now. So that totals 48. So nation is rising against nation, and they're only held in check because the 4 angels are holding back the winds of strife until the servants of God are sealed in their foreheads. And when the sealing is over, when that last person is sealed, then the angels cease to hold the 4 winds, and every nation in this world is going to be clashing with one another.
Surely not our nation.
Yeah, the 4 angels holding the 4 corners of the earth. And you know, I wondered if that was literal, if there was actually 4 corners, or spiritual, if it was just symbolic. So I went searching, and believe it or not, even though this earth is not perfectly round, it's kind of oval, there are 4 corners of this earth. There's 4 areas where the earth slightly bulges out like a corner. And if you'd like, I can share that information with you next week. So the earth is like a circle, like a ball, but it's not completely a perfect circle. It's more kind of, not oblong, but it's kind of that way. But there's 4 corners. So it is symbolic of the angels holding back the anger of the nations, if you will. But it also is based in reality. There's 4 literal corners to this circle of an earth.
Elder Rob, are we saying differently from north, south, east, and west, as we know, as we learned in school, or is that what is that what you're referencing?
No, I'm sure the 4 corners refer to the directions on a compass, the major directions. But literally, there are 4 corners. So when the Bible brings out that particular issue, the 4 corners of the earth, it's not just a symbol of the 4 directions of earth. there's actually four corners. So I'm not saying that there's an angel stationed at these four bulges or corners of the earth. I'm just saying that there's more to that statement than just symbolic, because there are four corners. Yeah, amen. I mean, when you start digging into it, you find out that there is nation rising against nation, Russia and Ukraine. You have the Middle East conflict between Gaza and Israel and Lebanon and Syria and so on. So those were part of the major wars that are going on. But Christ didn't specify what kind of war. So even skirmishes or outright fighting and killing can include under the title wars. So under that broader description, there's 48 different conflicts going on currently. And some of them have been going on for decades. So that's another signs of the time. That was the second one that Christ gave that shows his coming to be near. So when you continue down in Matthew 24, you'll find that false Christs were the first sign, wars and rumors of wars were the second sign, nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom is also included in wars. But then you have famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. And you can continue on, because Christ also mentioned in other places that like as it was in the time of Noah, it will be in the last days. Like as it was in the time of Lot, so it will be in the last days. So you can recognize that there is a lot of the signs of the times occurring right around us that reveal that the coming of our Savior draws nigh. Any other thoughts or comments or findings, dear ones?
Yeah, just touching on the famine thing that you were talking about, I had just discovered that I think it's somewhere in the Arabian area, or could be not Iran. Iran is experiencing something else, an exceedingly great drought. They are at basically day zero of water for their millions of people. So that's really bad. But, and I mentioned that I think a couple of Sabbaths ago, but this one is different. This is in another area. I don't want to say Pakistan, but it's in the Arabian area. And there are massive sinkholes that are showing up in their crop areas. So they are losing massive amounts of crops due to the sinkholes. The number of them just keeps expanding. So if that continues to happen, they won't really have much of a harvest to even feed their people with. So I had just discovered that, was it last week, I think. It kind of blew my mind, because I peek at these sinkholes here and there, but that one struck me because of the fact it was happening in an area where food is grown specifically to help feed people, and these holes are popping up, huge ones. We're talking meters and meters in diameter, and the depths are like meters and meters deep. So they're losing a lot of crops in those areas too. So that was something that I just wanted to touch on when you were talking about the famines. And when it comes down to also, there was another thing too, rises in crime rates and stuff is also something that is a sign that lawlessness, because without God's law, there is no governing at all, really. So, and the corruption that is happening from the top all the way down, even into municipal areas, only helps to exacerbate the criminal element in a society. And it causes a lot of bitterness, resentment, uprising of the people because they see the wrongs that are being done. Just recently, a woman's life was taken by a so-called government agency, which we know of, and in her own car. She was just, her life was ended. So that sparked a whole nother uprising of the people in this nation over the use of these agencies, and it's really immigration agencies that are acting more like, well, jackboot Gestapo. So that's really what they act more like, and they hide their faces so that they cannot really be identified, which is being brought up even in the states. Why are they hiding their faces? So it's this kind of lawlessness and violence that is escalating. However, according to for what they call Western first world nations, this country has been labeled as the most violent nation of all the Western first world nations in just about every area. So we know that being that this is going to be, we're in the belly of the beast, so to speak, is not going to get better. There may be a facade that will come in and make it seem like peace, peace, peace. Yeah, and then the hammer's going to fall. So that's just something else to mention.
Comment in the room says, other than wars, genocides, ethnic cleansing, mass killings are happening. Amen. Amen. So when you continue down in Matthew 24, false Christs, wars and rumors of wars, famines is what Christ gives next. And when you look at famines statistically now, since 1990 onward, there's been approximately 100,000 people a year who die from famine around the world. And that's even with the great improvements that's been made in agricultural practices and also food production. On average, approximately 100,000 people die a year since 1990. I mean, do you hear that on the news? So, I mean, you may hear one particular nation going through it, but worldwide. So that was famines. The next thing Christ mentioned is pestilences. Now, pestilences can be any virus or disease or sickness that spreads. But if you just look at the epidemics and the pandemics or worldwide events, just since 1980, there is approximately 1 to 3 million people that die each year from various pestilences. Yeah, that would include insects like malaria, right? Insects spread malaria. So 1 to 3 million people, and that's conservative, but 1 to 3 million people a year since 1980 die from pestilences. And that's just focusing on epidemics and pandemics. So if it's something that may be localized in your community, that's not included in this figure. It's something that extends throughout the state or nation or world. So that was the next sign. And then earthquakes was another sign that Christ gave. And in researching out earthquakes, I was amazed as to how many there are. Did you realize that each year there are almost 500,000 earthquakes that are detected? The number was about 480,000, to be precise. Almost 500,000 earthquakes a year are detected. But about 460,000 of these earthquakes are not big enough for you to feel. They're detected, but you don't feel them. In order for an earthquake to be detected, it has to be about 3 magnitude on the seismic scale. So then I researched out how many earthquakes have there been that are 3 magnitude or higher. In the year 1990, there were over 17,000 earthquakes that were felt worldwide. In 2025, last year, there was over 91,000 earthquakes that were felt. So magnitude 3 or higher. Now, in order to have damage from an earthquake, it has to be about 5 magnitude or greater. So then I researched out how many earthquakes were of magnitude 5 on the Richter scale. And in 1990, there were 1,841 earthquakes that were 5 magnitude or greater. In 2025, we had 2,368 earthquakes that were magnitude 5 or higher. Now, the greatest earthquakes that have been recorded have all been in the 19th and in the 20th and 21st century. They've been 8.4 magnitude or greater, and there's been 21 of them. The first was in 1906, and no, that was not the San Francisco earthquake. That San Francisco was 7.9 on the Richter scale. But the 8.4 magnitude, I think, was over in Chile, if I'm not mistaken. So just the 21 greatest earthquakes that have been recorded are 8.4 magnitude or greater. And 8 of these have all been in the 21st century. So earthquakes are increasing, and they're only going to continue to get worse. Yeah, that's right. Seismicity has increased. Yeah, with 480,000 earthquakes that are detected each year. But upwards of 20,000 are felt. And of those 20,000, about 2,300 cause damage. And the greater the difference between magnitude 5 and magnitude 6 is 10 times more powerful. So when you hear of a magnitude 7, that is 10 times more powerful than a 6. It's 100 times more powerful than a 5. It's 1,000 times more powerful than a 4. So when you get up to magnitude 8 and even magnitude 9, I mean, we're talking about a lot of destruction what happened to Tokyo was a magnitude 9. I think it was 9.1 back in 2011, I think it was. Look at how much damage it caused, and it wasn't just localized there in Japan. Comment in the room says, is it still the Lisbon earthquake that is the greatest in record? I believe it is, because that earthquake was not just localized there in the Portugal area, but it was felt in other continents. Even Europe, it was felt in. So I think that is the greatest earthquake that was recorded. But they, of course, don't know what the magnitude was. Oh, they estimated Lisbon was 7.7. Maybe that was the greatest that was felt. Because I don't remember feeling the 9.1 earthquake there in Japan, and we're 7,000 miles away on the West Coast. I don't remember feeling it, not like with the Lisbon quake that was felt thousands of miles away. But we did have a tsunami that came in. It wasn't very big in our area. It was bigger in some other areas. But it shows that the signs of the times that Christ brought out are all here. We're not lacking a single one. It was mentioned earlier about the crime being on the increase. Well, Christ also gave that description there in Matthew 24. The love of many shall wax cold, and that leads to iniquity, and that leads to crime, and that leads to murder and everything else, all because of love being removed from the heart towards other individuals. Christ didn't mention it, but Spirit of Prophecy mentions volcanoes as another signs of the times. Do you know how many volcanoes are active around the world right now? 1,500. 15, there's more than 1,500, but 1,500 volcanoes are considered active. They can erupt anytime. Active on the earth. And on average, each year, there's between 50 to 70 volcanoes that erupt. Some of them haven't stopped erupting. Like the volcano there in Hawaii, just continuously erupting. So, and this is astounding here. Europe has 82 volcanoes. The United States has 169 of these 1,500 active. Now, on land, there are estimated to be about 5,500 volcanoes on land. 1,500 of them are considered active, so there's a lot that are considered dormant. But even though they're considered dormant, it doesn't mean they're dead. They can come back to life, as has happened recently. Now, that's on land. Do you know how many volcanoes are under the land, in the water? Over 100,000. There's over 100,000 volcanoes under the sea. some estimate there's upwards of 300,000. I want to be conservative, right? So there's 5,500 estimated volcanoes on land. There's over 100,000 estimated to be under the ocean. Quite amazing. Yeah, and they keep finding new ones. You're right. Question, is the water drinkable once a volcano erupts? It just depends. It depends where the water source comes from. Like if it's an aquifer, that can be affected if the volcano erupts or intrudes into the area where that aquifer resides. It just all depends. What happens a lot of time is the ash that comes from a volcano mixes with the rain, and then you get kind of an acidic rain that comes down, and then it seeps into the ground and can contaminate wells and various sources of water that way. So it can, but it just depends. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones? Because it clearly shows all the signs of the times that Christ mentioned would occur before his coming are occurring. Comment says, I stood under the open roof of Convento do Carmo in Lisbon, that church that collapsed on the worshipers and killed them during the earthquake. It's now a museum / cemetery, and I was just wrapped in wonder and grief. Yeah, I can understand. So we're familiar with the devastation that occurred to San Francisco, right? The entire city was affected by it, and then the fires that broke out destroyed, 80% of the city itself, the aftermath. And Brother Dick said that was estimated at 7.7 on the Richter scale. So a 9 is, well, it'd have to be 9.7 to be 100 times greater, but it's 10 to 50 times greater, a 9.1 compared to 7.7. So it's just the scale of the force or the power is just amazing. Any other thoughts or findings or questions, dear ones?
Being that it's prophesied that this nation is to be like a dragon, I guess my question would be, what would be some of the characteristics of a dragon nation? Not a dragon itself, but some of the character qualities of a dragon nation that can also pinpoint that these days are very well upon us. I could mention a couple, but I'd rather just hear and see if maybe some of the things that are mentioned in my brain actually line up with something that's said.
Yeah, I understand, brother. A dragon is a beast. So when we read in Revelation dealing with a dragon, that is a beast. So when we're talking about the beast speaking with the voice of a dragon, or the lamb-like beast becoming a dragon, right? You look back at how the dragon or the beast spoke in the past, And that was when the Roman Catholic Church, depicted as a woman, was riding on the beast, and she was in control of the government, if you will, the state power. And the state was enforcing the decrees of the woman. So she's riding on the beast, and the beast was speaking with the voice of the church, basically, enforcing the dogmas and decrees of Romanism. So when America, the lamb-like beast, speaks with the voice of a dragon, it would follow in the very same scenario. You would have a church likened to a woman that rides on top of the beast and speaks with the voice of a dragon. So the United States would enforce the decrees or the dogmas of the woman or the church. So when that occurs, America speaks with the voice of a dragon, enforcing the decrees and the dogmas of a religious body. And we know that to be apostate Protestantism.
Okay, let me try to see if I can be more clear about my question. My understanding, even from scripture, where even Satan himself is called the dragon. Then I'm looking at, okay, well, what are some of his character qualities? What has he done to gain such a title? What was he involved in? What did he do? What did he spread? What did he disseminate around the world, so to speak, that could give him such a title like that? And that's why I ask, okay, this country is going to speak like a dragon, then I wonder, what has it been doing in itself as a country to mimic that character of the dragon? And if, you know, I have some ideas, but I would like to hear first before I would say anything, because I think that there are those here that they can see, they know. We're not nationalists, we're Christians. So we have to make sure that we see things in the right light and fairly, and our allegiance is to Christ first and foremost. So I just want to see if the things that I'm seeing as far as the character of the dragon, and we're given that Satan is called a dragon and the U.S. is going to speak like a dragon, then it must also have some of the characteristics of that dragon that it either promotes, disseminates, in some kind of way shows. So maybe that helps with clearing up what I'm asking.
Well, from that generalized perspective, you can have not just nations, you can have individuals speaking with the voice of a dragon or manifesting the characteristics of Satan. But with the prophecy of America speaking with the voice of a dragon, that particular prophecy will be fulfilled when America enforces the decrees of the church to worship on Sunday on a nationwide scale. So in a very generalized way, even individuals can speak with the voice of a dragon if they're following in the characteristics of the devil. But in prophecy, Revelation 13, that's dealing with America enforcing the decrees of apostate Protestantism to force individuals within America to keep Sunday holy, to receive the mark of the beast. So if you're dealing with prophecy, that's the fulfillment of it. If you're dealing with a generalized aspect representing the devil, there's a lot of areas where America and a lot of other nations are mimicking the devil in character.
I understand that, dear brother, I do. I guess I am looking at it like, when they're mimicking the devil in character, this nation is specifically pointed out in prophecy. And I tend to believe that when a nation is specifically pointed out in prophecy, there are things to look at, things to consider regarding that nation. So these are the points that I see that are very much indicative of the character of the dragon compared to the one that speaks like a dragon. The dragon was a murderer from the beginning. The dragon was a liar from the beginning. The dragon was a lawbreaker from the beginning. The dragon was a warmonger through humankind from the beginning and started in heaven with wars and brought it here. The dragon perpetrated, colluded with others to create wars that did not have to happen. The dragon murdered innocent people without any qualm whatsoever except for his own purposes. The dragon brought in sorcery, which back then was pharmakeia, which is all kinds of medications, which went against the body and not for the body. The dragon dealt with lots of, even though he doesn't really gain much but power, but the dragon is greedy. The dragon loves self. The dragon promotes self to such a high degree it, he believes he is the best thing since sliced bread. Well, the dragon loves to kill children. The dragon loves to make sure that that happens often, almost like it was actually a sacrifice unto him was the murder of children, the murder of the innocent, the genocide of people whom he did not like, because they served God mostly. The dragon has these traits. So I kind of look at this nation that is prophesied to speak like the dragon must also have some of the characteristics of that dragon. And as I look at it, it does. It foments wars everywhere. It creates famine when there doesn't need to be any. It helps to promote pestilences. It doesn't help to cure. It brings in lots of things that we take into our body for cures, which actually in the end harm us. It is divisive. It goes to every nation and stirs up what was already a peaceful nation because it has something it wants. It has ever been that way. Since its inception, it has been that way. It was born that way. And it's unfortunate that it's only gotten worse. So when it comes down to greed and avarice and licentiousness, the dragon that's going to be roaring already is roaring, has all these characteristics because even from what is said about the prophecy, the Roman Catholic Church has always been known for being exceedingly licentious, though they did it in secret, they seem. Well, this nation promotes it. Homosexuality is almost like the thing, the anthem for the nation. And disregarding God's law, that's something that they are very much working on, and that's exactly what the dragon wanted to do. So, yes, the nation is speaking like a dragon, yet I really do see that in order for me to speak like the president, I would have to, in some ways, have a character like a president. I would have to be presidential in the way I carry myself, the way I speak, the way I'm diplomatic, how I handle problems. Well, the dragon is a dragon, and those that are going to speak like a dragon are going to have characteristics like that dragon. At least that's kind of what I'm seeing, because the evidence is purely, it's right there. If we want to see it, that's what this nation has been involved in for a very, very long time. And now with what we have sitting there now, it's just even clearer that life is being snuffed out with impunity on a regular basis by those that follow the voice of the dragon.
Thank you, dear brother. But there is a difference between speaking and acting. So we see that America is acting like a dragon, but it doesn't speak like a dragon until it legislates. That's the speaking. Until it legislates a national Sunday law, then America will speak like a dragon, legislate. So they're acting like it, but they haven't yet legislated it. They haven't yet spoken with the voice of a dragon, but it's coming.
So is that why it says America is lamb-like, it's quiet until the time has come for it to actually speak?
Yeah, it's lamb-like. And if you look at a buffalo, lamb-like beast, it has two horns. Symbolically, one of the horns is Protestantism. Protestantism is protesting against Catholicism, protesting against the beast, right? Against the apostate woman of Babylon. And the other horn is republicanism, not democracy. Republicanism. And that's brought out in the Bill of Rights. It's brought out in the Constitution. Not democracy, republicanism. Those two horns represented the two fundamental principles that gave birth to America, republicanism and Protestantism. So in order for America to speak or legislate with the voice of a dragon, those two principles are repudiated. No longer is it republicanism. But everyone has to follow the voice of the majority, which is democracy. And no longer is it Protestantism protesting against false doctrine and the abuses of Catholicism, but it's now going along with it. So when they legislate a national Sunday law, America will have repudiated its two fundamental principles that gave its birth, which is republicanism and Protestantism. It will repudiate those and now speaks with the voice of a dragon, no longer lamb-like, but now forcing. Brother Dick, your bubble's up. You have something to share, dear brother? Okay, just making sure. So we see that there's a lot of characteristics of the devil, of the dragon here in America. And you can look at every civilization, every country, every nation in the world today, and you'll see many, if not greater, characteristics of the devil. But for prophecy to be fulfilled in Revelation 13 dealing with America, she has to speak, she has to legislate with the voice of a dragon. And that is forcing everyone to receive the mark of the beast. And then that goes worldwide. Not just here in America now, but worldwide. So you hear that America is going to be conquered by Russia or by China or whatever. Prophecy says no. America will be the one that conquers the entire world by forcing them to receive the mark of the beast. Yeah, I've wondered that too. question says, I wonder why America is going to do this and not any other country. God knows why. But it stands to reason. The greatest nation of the world, the nation that had the most light of any nation in the world, the nation that had the most opportunity to be a blessing to the world, is the one that becomes the curse of the world. It's just how things go. Cain was the firstborn. You think that he would be the best offspring, right? Well, no, Abel was the best offspring. And the firstborn was the first murderer of humankind. Lucifer was the first created angel. And yet, he was the angel that brought in death and destruction and sin. So America had every advantage. And yet, it's following the devil in every area, as our brother brought out. That's the danger of sin. If you keep sin cherished in your heart, there's no length of the depths that you will go, because the devil will drag you all the way down with him. Any other thoughts or comments, questions, findings, insights? Please feel free, dear one.
So America is initially just committing suicide. Like Judas.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it that way, but that's exactly what's happening. If you know the truth and you turn from the truth, you're committing suicide. It's a slow suicide, but it's inevitable. And the only way to prevent it is to come back to your loyalty to truth, to Christ, to God. So that's an interesting way to look at it. Well, praise God that we can see the signs of the times. A lot of people are blind to it. They don't recognize what's going on around them shows that the coming of Christ is nigh at hand. But praise God that we can see the signs. And they're only going to continue to get more prevalent until everybody recognizes, hey, there's something going on here that is beyond natural. It's supernatural. And if it's supernatural, then it's dealing with more than just what can be seen. It's dealing with God. And of course, the devil's going to be right there saying, well, God is angry because you're not keeping Sunday holy. And multitudes that are not close to God, studying His Word, practicing what they read, a relationship with Christ on a personal basis, are going to be deceived because they do not love the truth. And that's going to be the vast majority of every nation, the populace of every kingdom in this world. They're going to follow the beast. They're going to worship the image of the beast. And they're going to blame those who keep God's law, particularly Saturday as the Sabbath, as the cause of this supernatural punishment, when in actuality, it's just the other way around. But God's commandment-keeping people are going to be in the minority. And democracy is going to say you have to bow to the majority. So no longer a republic. And as soon as America passes that law and enforces it, then the only thing left for America is national ruin. Go ahead, dear sister.
It's just so sad because people are coming here from other countries thinking that they're coming for refuge and needing help and getting and needing aid to be able to save themselves and their families just for it to backfire in the end.
Yeah, I wish it was still that way, right? America, the land of liberty. But as our dear brother Joel brought out, it's far from protecting liberty. It is indeed acting like a dragon. It's taking away religious liberty. It's taking away the principles of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. Praise God that we still have the freedom to meet here in this chat room, in this home church, without being censored, right? But we know it's coming. Yeah, go ahead, dear sister.
Well, I'm sorry. I just want to share a picture on what was being touched upon. I'm not sure. Hold on. Let me just see if I can. I'm trying to operate on another computer. I haven't touched this computer for a little bit. But I have noticed.
Come closer to the mic, dear Sister Rose.
Can you all see the slide? Okay. I had did this PowerPoint many years ago because as we was there was no room or anything like that when I heard about the English message.
Dear Sister Rose, come closer to the mic and speak directly in the mic because you're fading out.
Okay, because I'm working on two computers. Sorry. I'm going to put the computer.
He said that you cannot hear it.
Is it possible that I can be able to share the next Sabbath by God's grace so I can take this PowerPoint and put it in the current computer? But I can't because I have to turn around and they're not going to be able to hear me. Elder Rob, is it possible that I can share this next Sabbath by God's grace?
We can hear you perfectly now. And we can see what you have here on the screen. Are you asking to present it during the main church service or afterwards or what?
Okay, I'm trying to say that the PowerPoint is in another computer. And because it's not in the main computer, that's why it fades out. Is it possible that I can share this slide next week? Where I will change the PowerPoint into this one that I work on so it will be better. Or you can't be able to, can you read what is in the slide? It don't have to be me. But I have noticed that in actually the map itself, especially for America, it actually have a shape of a bison.
Yeah, we can see it.
Okay.
You said it's a PowerPoint. How many slides? Because I'm 59 slides. Is that what is correct?
It's pretty lengthy because it was talking about from one particular, image. It was also talking about the other ones that will come to bring about what we was talking about here about the dragon. It will be able to show that as things started to progress when there was like a treaty, and when the treaty put the two countries also with them, it actually has the shape of a wind dragon. So I just wanted, I don't know when it's going to be possible for me to be able to do this, but it is just so going according to the different things and the times. So I just wanted to at least send it to you first so you can be able to see it through before I present it. Because this happened when I was a baby in Christ. So I just want to make sure that everything is going accordingly instead of just present it without consult.
Okay. Yeah, with 59 slides, you're going to need a good portion of time. So
no, but not
I was trying to determine there.
It's okay. I'm just saying that in case of any time when they were talking about the particular one with the two horns that it represented America, it's just so amazing that I saw that the actual territory is talking about the very beast that it's talked about in Revelation.
Yeah, I would like to see it myself, and I know others here would like to see it as well. And it's right in line with the topic we've been discussing, so I think it would be great that you present it next week for our main church service.
But I would like you to see it through.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. Yeah, go ahead and send it to me. It
just brought to my remembrance as when you started to talk about the beast with the two horns. It just brought my memory back. Wait a minute, but I have something that it will be kind of easier for individuals that may have a hard time trying to place the beast and the actual prophecies at the same time. I just did it for little children to kind of have a concept of it. But it's been so long, I haven't seen it myself. So I'm going to send it to you so you could be able to just check it before. It don't have to be next week. You could just pick the time because it's kind of lengthy. It's like a story concerning like Adam and Eve all the way to these events.
Okay, Dirce. Yeah, we'll decide together what would be the best time. And if it works out, then next Sabbath for the main service, I think it would be great. But we'll go through it this week and decide that. Go ahead, sister.
Me too. My email is there.
Dear ones, any final thoughts, questions, insights, discoveries or findings on the subject of the signs of the times? Please feel free. Well, it's, at least for me, it's becoming more and more exciting to come to church to fellowship with you all and to see how God has opened your understanding and the insights you have to share and being edified by you all. It's much more exciting, and praise God that it is. Definitely nothing to be complacent about. There's always something to learn, always something to investigate into, and thus there's always chance for growth, growing in knowledge, growing in grace, growing in practice, growing in love and unity with one another. So I look forward to these fellowships, and I hope you do too. Our closing song is titled Redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am.
Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, his child and forever redeemed.
I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent, his love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am.
I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mountain for me. And soon with the saints made perfect, a home with the Lord I shall be. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His hand and forever.
Amen. I hope that is your experience, dear ones. You are forever His child, and He is forever yours. A union, a bond, a marriage contract, an agreement. You are bound together forever. And praise God. He's coming soon to take you home. And who would like to offer closing prayer?
Our Father, our child in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. And thank you so much. Dear ones, anything else that you would like to share? Any questions or comments, insights? Please go right ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say this about what Brother Shofar said about the incident in Minnesota with the lady. My opinion is the lady was blocking the government officials from getting to where they needed to go. So for her, her death, I believe, from reading the article, was basically her fault. So that's what I wanted to say.
I would also like to share, too, dear sister, that from multiple camera angles that were actually used to see what happened, the death, the murder of that woman was not justified because of what you're saying, she blocked away. Thou shalt not kill is part of God's law. And being in the military, I know many different ways to disarm or even bring someone into subjection to what I need them to do without killing them. There were more than one individual that could have opened that door and pulled her out, but they shot her instead. So I understand your opinion, but I would like to also make sure that every single avenue of evidence is looked at first and corroborated and then brought forward. It's better that way because that's how truth is brought out. Otherwise, we're just stuck with our own opinions. So the woman has been labeled as murdered by many governors and people around the world even. There was no justifiable reason to use deadly force on someone who's blocking a road. There's just none. So the person who actually did it is actually under federal investigation now. So I just figured I'd let you know that.
But she was also asked to get out of the car. She refused, put her car in reverse, and one of the ICE agents was in front of her car. She almost hit that ICE agent. So would that also be considered thou shalt not kill for her almost hitting the ICE agent?
Well, to be fair and to be honest about that, they are trained. Even in situations like that, they are trained. I have a relative who is in the police force also. I can speak in that area too. They are trained to know how to avoid that kind of harm and to not use lethal force even in that situation. Because sometimes a person is just nervous and they hit the wrong pedal. So, yeah, that is still murder. It's still murder. Because they are trained to know how to deal with that issue. And that woman was unarmed. Not a terrorist. Just a citizen. So, no, I'm not going to justify that in any kind of way. And I don't believe the Lord would. According to his word, he would not justify that. It's called murder.
Also, her wife was out on the side of the car filming everything, and her wife was also egging them on, because she would say, you want to come at us? You want to come at us? I mean, I'm agreeing with what the lady was doing. I think that was not right for her to do that. But she was egging them on.
I understand that too, dear sister. And having stood on post on the Berlin Wall at one time, more than one time, we are taunted by German soldiers while the wall was still up. But we had to show restraint to not do anything that would cause an international situation. Well, I have a brother-in-law who also served, and then he served also in law enforcement, a very high area of law enforcement for over 25 years, and informed me many times of the restraint he has to use, even against those who are cursing at him, throwing up different signs that are offensive, things like that. And he has every ability to pull out a revolver and shoot them. But by the grace of the living God, he followed his Christian understanding that you need to use restraint and would arrest the person instead. Maybe a rough arrest, but they're arrested and not dead. So police officers have no protection under the law of any state in this country to wound someone because someone calls them a name. They don't have any protection. None. And if we as Christians wish to justify something like that, then who do we really believe in? Because God is love. And he's patient, long-suffering. And we call him names in our actions or inactions almost every day. But he gives us breath of life every day. So he shows restraint. They don't. Because they are not serving the Lord. they're serving the world. That woman's life is worth 10,000 worlds like this one.
Now, it actually brings to my remembrance when Judas brought the soldiers to arrest Jesus, and the soldiers only knew who Jesus was with the kiss from Judas. From there, an ear was cut off, and the Lord said, that was it, something like, live by the sword, you die by the sword, and it ended up healing the man. Jesus could have easily just left. Jesus could have easily just asked his father to send whomever he needs to send to just kill everybody on sight. But Jesus himself had restraint. Jesus was spat on. He was stabbed. He had a crown of thorns put on his head. He was beat up. So if Jesus can do it, then I don't see why those officers could not have done it. She's a woman. So not saying that we're weak, but we are the weaker vessel. Somebody could have just pulled her out of the way if it was that serious.
Thank you for your comments. Any other thoughts, dear ones? Please feel free. With all the signs of the times that we've been investigating into and seeing taking place around us, I thought this hymn here is appropriate. You will see your Lord a-coming. You will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming in a few more days. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air. You will see the saints arrival, you will see the saints arrival, you will see the saints arrival in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city, we will travel to the city, we will travel to the city in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
Then we'll shout our sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over in a few more days. Then we'll spend eternity, we will spend eternity, we will spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music, which is sounding through the air.
You will see your Lord coming, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city, then we'll shout our suffering over, then we'll spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music, which is sounding through the air.
Amen. We're hearing the band of music today, the three angels' messages, including the loud cry of the fourth. So the music is coming closer, it's growing louder, it's filling this earth in a greater way, and soon we will see our Lord a-coming. May we get ourselves ready and prepared to meet our friend in the air. And so will we ever be with the Lord. Dear ones, until we meet again, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath and a very blessed new week. And looking forward to being back in fellowship with you soon. Until then, keep looking up.
The King of thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.